For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. Men's T Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, Eldorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T or visit mensteclinic.com.
Hour number two on a Friday, it's the G-Bag Nation live from Globe Life Field. Comerica Backyard is where we broadcast, and we'd love to see you here if you're making your way over to Globe Life Field for Rangers and O's, the start of half number two of this 2024 Rangers season. Looking forward to that. Eric Nadel joins us later on in the program. It's What You Drinking, What You Thinking Friday. Lucius Alexander live with us here at Globe Life Field. So looking forward to the Tolos getting to see Lucius today as well. We'll get L.A. live in the 5 o'clock hour. No Dawson, no Walchuk. They're back on Monday. NFL news of the day here. Brian Broaddus. We had Stephen Jones chatting it up on Diana Russini's podcast, talking about Dak. We'll have some of the sound a little bit later on once we get things figured out there in the Pym Cup. The Gator situation's no joke. I think we can just all blame Microsoft for everything today.
Sure.
So that's the type of the technical issues that are going down nationwide right now. But Stephen Jones was talking with Diana Russini about some of the contract stuff that's going down right now and in regards to where things stand with Dak and CD and Micah. You know, he says those things take a little time when you're talking about the amount of money involved. He says they're trying to do a little bit of playing Houdini and trying to figure out how to keep all these guys around Dak and keep the players that they've drafted and things like that. So he's talking about the big money. He's like, I know the Vikings with Justin Jefferson, when they made that huge deal at the receiver spot, they don't have one player on their roster other than Jefferson making a bunch of money. But he notes that you have, of course, Dak, you got Diggs, you got Zach Martin, Tank Lawrence all making big money, and then Lamb and Parsons that are about to get some big money as well. So trying to work that out is going to be difficult. But this is the first we've heard from Stephen Jones. Of course, we'll have him on weekly during the season, and that'll all get started coming up very soon. We'll be in Oxnard next week, and I'm sure he'll be sitting down on a couple of the shows, and they'll be talking about some of this stuff. But, I mean, the Cowboys, you saw Mike Florio today with Pat McAfee. The Cowboys have no way to keep Dak Prescott from becoming a free agent after this season. And so that gives Dak a ton of leverage here, and it makes you wonder whether or not the deal is going to get done at any point during training camp. That feels like the last-ditch effort before it's inevitable he's going to be a free agent.
Yeah, and this is where Stephen Jones in his interview there with Diana Russini, and she does a heck of a job with the questions and stuff. Stephen had talked about that, and we've heard before where the players, like, there's agents that don't want their clients talking to Jerry Jones. I mean this in a way of, Jerry has a way of closing deals when he can get one-on-one, so you got to be careful. But Stephen, if you're a player, because Jerry will convince you, like, okay, yeah, I need to be here and that kind of stuff. But Stephen said that they've had conversations not only with his agent, but with Dak himself. Okay, this is where I would take this then. Okay, this is just me and how I would handle it. So I'm going to give you my two cents here.
Okay.
If I'm Stephen Jones and I'm having communications with Dak on a one-on-one basis, and I know I have no leverage with him. I've got nothing. I mean, my only leverage is, does he want to still play for the Cowboys? You know, do you still want to play for the Cowboys? That's my only leverage. What I would do if I was Stephen Jones is I would sit him down and give him either a PowerPoint presentation or show him what this team will look like if he takes this money or this money or this money. And I would, you know, I'm like, listen, you are going to win the negotiations here. You hold all the cards. We can't franchise you. We can't trade you. you win. How bad do you want to win here? How bad do you want to win the deal? Because if you really want to win the deal and take $60 million from me a year, let me tell you what your team's going to look like. Here are my guys. Here's your team. If you give me a deal at 56, this is what my team's going to look like, or your team's going to look like. You shoot me 52, now this is what your team is going to look like. I would just explain to him in a way of how this team, if you take all the money and you want to win the deal,
yeah,
which by all right you have, but I, if I was Steven, I'm saying, hey, you got me.
You go to him like it's a wonderful life.
Yeah, you got me over a barrel.
The ghost of football pass. Come look at this.
Yeah, let me just show you. If you work with me here, here, or here, our team is going to look. And you know, Dak doesn't – he doesn't owe them anything. I mean, he doesn't – but if I was Steven, I would explain it in a way to him to where he could understand where his contract falls and how the team is going to be built once he takes this deal.
Yeah.
We're going to lose this guy, and this guy. If you're okay with that, then take this money. But if you want to, if you want to have some players available to work with, if you help me here, we can make this thing work.
Yeah, because I mean, if you're Dak, leaving money on the table, you want to be, you want to be assured, and it's tough to be that they're going to do right with those dollars that you left on the table.
I would explain it to him. I would explain it. I mean, Tank Lord said it the best when he goes, hey, they were asking him about contracts and how it fits in. Tank Lord says, his answer was, that's not my problem. But Tank was looking at 20-something million dollars. Dak's looking at 55, 58, 60 million dollars. You know, he's looking for a large chunk of the cap. I would do my best to try to explain. Okay, like I said, you got me. I got no leverage on you, man. But I'm just going to show you what I'm dealing with in the future.
Well, there's some reports out of Philadelphia right now. We know their season imploded, and I think part of the reason why you can be optimistic about the Cowboys' chances, even if you're a little bit down on what the Cowboys have done this offseason, like we pretty much all are, and a little bit pessimistic on what their season might look like. But within the division, you know the Commanders and the Giants are just not going to be very good, even if they have better than you're expecting seasons, they're going to be under 500 football teams.
Sure.
So it's really just the Cowboys and the Eagles, and the Eagles are a team that could very well be on the verge of another implosion. And it's kind of similar with what we're dealing with the Rangers right now. Part of the optimism is the division you're in and how the door is not going to get slammed shut on you because there's, you know, you're in basically one of the worst divisions in baseball right now. And so I think the Cowboys will be able to benefit from that hugely as well when it comes to the NFC East. And Diana Russini in The Athletic is reporting on some of the things that are sort of the dynamic right now in Philadelphia, especially when it comes to Sirianni and Jalen Hurts. And she says that, you know, there's definitely a difference in personality between these guys. And she describes the relationship between the head coach, Nick Sirianni, who's an offensive guy, and his quarterback, Jalen Hurts, to still be a work-in-progress type relationship. She says last year there was some disconnect between them due to their difference in personalities. Nick is a little bit more of an emotional guy. We've seen that. Jalen is much more private.
Stoic.
Yeah, more stoic, that kind of deal. And so there are still some work-in-progress type issues there when it comes to head coach and quarterback. That could prove to be extremely problematic. They started 10-1 last year, and then everything imploded on them. But she said what she was told was that even during those 10 wins, it was just a grind. The Eagles were winning, but things weren't exactly perfect behind the scenes from a culture standpoint. And one of the issues, Sirianni is a conservative play caller.
Yeah.
And that never goes over great with a franchise quarterback.
No.
Jalen Hurts is like, dude, I just, you know, was in the MVP conversation. We went to the Super Bowl. I get the big money contract, and you're still conservative play caller that's you know, trying to treat me like I'm a first-year quarterback or something.
Hey, look, just adding Saquon Barkley the way they did. That is a conservative way. That is like saying, let's add one of the best running backs in the league to further protect you from yourself.
Yeah, to not have
that's
to throw
not
the football.
A, that's not a very confident – you know, you want to add players, but, you know, you're adding a running back at that price.
Yeah.
Because you probably don't trust that – you don't trust Jalen Hurts playing, you know, having to play that game of throwing the ball every snap.
Well, you know, she also said Brian Johnson was the offensive coordinator last year in Philadelphia. He got fired. He's now the receivers coach with the Commanders and Dan Quinn. But apparently, according to the people in Philadelphia, Johnson was the offensive coordinator, but it was 100% Nick Sirianni's offense
yes.
that we were watching last season. And Sirianni wanted to do it his way. Conservative, run-first approach, especially when they got near the red zone. And last year, opposing defenses were ready for it. Johnson wasn't calling his own plays. He was solely focused on giving Sirianni the offense that Sirianni wanted to run. So now he leaves, and you bring in Kellen Moore, and a lot of that is a Howie Roseman doing. Howie Roseman apparently has all the power now in Philadelphia. This isn't Nick Sirianni hiring his coaching staff. Nick Sirianni's not like, oh, I'm going to go get Dick Fangio, and I'm going to go get Kellen Moore. Howie Roseman's like, hey, Nick, I'm giving you Kellen Moore, and I'm giving you Dick Fangio. I'm the one. I don't trust you to make hires anymore when it comes to this coaching staff. So that's super interesting. This could get real touch and go with the job status of Nick Sirianni here now that Roseman holds all the power. He's hiring, and of course, he will be the one firing if it gets to that point with Nick Sirianni. So just something to consider as you watch this upcoming season with the Eagles. And again, we're a little bit down on the Cowboys here, but the Eagles might open the door for you. I mean, could a 9-win team win this division? I think that's realistic. I think that's realistic. I do. And I mean, how would you say, Broadus, when it comes to the dynamics of hiring coaches, how often is it a general manager that's hiring coaches as opposed to a head coach hiring his assistant coaches?
You always want to give, and every head coach will fight for the ability to hire his own staff. Mm. I think as a general manager, you're responsible for bringing names to the head coach. I don't think that Mike McCarthy, once he let go of his friend Mike Nolan, I don't think he was really interested in, wow, let's bring in Dan Quinn, former head coach, you know, to... I think there takes a little bit of massaging. Like, you do not want to be, hey, you've got to hire this guy. But there is a little bit of that, hey, man, why don't you interview these three guys? And then the head coach will go, well, tell me why you want me to interview these guys. Well, okay, I feel like, you know, are you interviewing them because you think they're the next head coach? Then, you know, am I going to be out of here? I think there's some people over there that like to have seen Dan Quinn be the head coach. You know, Mike's done a fine job, but I think there's some people in the organization like, Dan Quinn, yeah, we kind of like what Dan Quinn did.
Yeah, but to be honest with you, the defense absolutely collapsed, especially late
last year.
And looking at what Dan Quinn just brought and put together coaching staff-wise in Washington, I mean, I'm not looking at that staff with envy. I'm not looking at Cliff Kingsbury and Brian Johnson.
No question, but that's what we're talking about here. Maybe as a general manager, maybe Will McClay, you know, he's kind of keeping tune of, he's got his hand on the pulse of, oh, college assistants or other NFL assistants, or, you know, that's something you always need to keep a handle on. Like, hey, we need an offensive line coach. You know, why do you go get Mike Solari? You know, I'm sure that Mike McCarthy wanted James Campen, who was at Carolina. You know, I'm sure he wanted, but all of a sudden now you get Mike Solari, and Mike Solari was, oh, he got a relationship and this, that, and the other. These coaches will bring guys in. Mm-hmm. Mike McCarthy brought most of his friends in. Jim Tomsula, Mike Nolan, guys. You know, he hired Brian Schottenheimer. Brian Schottenheimer's a qualified coach, but who? Brian Schottenheimer's dad gave Mike McCarthy a job.
Yeah.
So you know, as a general manager, you feel responsibility to say, hey, I'm not saying you need to hire this guy, but I'm bringing him to you if you please interview him and tell me what you think.
Okay, boys, we have a battle of the eights situation brewing here. Aikman versus Lamar Jackson. Apparently, Lamar Jackson currently holds and has additionally filed for several trademarks when it comes to his number eight.
Aikman has to protect himself because he's got eight beers.
So Aikman is reportedly attempting to use eight spelled out, E-I-G-H-T, on apparel and bags because of his beer, as you mentioned.
Right.
And that's an issue that Lamar Jackson's representation says needs to be fixed.
Whoa.
And so now you have a battle of the eights here going on. Lamar Jackson's attorney said in a court filing that Troy Aikman's use of the number and branding is, quote, likely to cause confusion or cause mistake or to deceive the purchasing public as to whether they're buying products from Lamar Jackson or Troy Aikman's company. Lamar Jackson has expended considerable time, effort, and expense in promoting, advertising, and popularizing the number eight in connection with his personality and fame, and is well known by this number due to his notoriety and fame, along with his promotion of this number in his trademarks and in media coverage. So, I mean, I didn't even know you could trademark a number, but apparently you can trademark just about anything. And he's applied, Lamar Jackson has applied for trademarks. Era 8 by Lamar Jackson, just Era 8 by itself, You 8 Yet.
Okay, I like that one.
Stylized Wild Dog, 2018 Era 8 by Lamar Jackson. So all those things he's filed for, but now apparently you have an issue between Lamar Jackson and Troy Aikman. Jackson filed his trademarks prior to Aikman seeking rights to use the eight all spelled out. Mm-hmm. So technically Lamar Jackson has some level of I was first on this. So I don't know, man. This is going to be a weird situation. Lamar Jackson versus Troy Aikman. I cannot wait to get Troy Aikman calling a Lamar Jackson game on Monday Night Football. We'll see if any bias creeps in there.
I haven't seen any Lamar Jackson gear, so I can't even like really jump out there and say if it kind of looks the same, if I'm confused. When I see Troy Aikman's beer, I see it.
Yeah.
It has cowboy colors kind of in a vibe-ish way. It's
his whole
out.
Can is like in an eight shape or whatever.
Yeah, like it's very distinct. So I haven't seen Lamar's to even say, well, I can see where there's an argument.
My goodness, dude. Yeah, that was not something I was anticipating seeing here. We have Aikman versus Lamar Jackson for the number eight. We will see who comes out on top here. I got a football question for you coming up next. And I ask you, is this a good gift? It's the G-Bag Nation live from Globe Life Field next right here on The Fan. But good news, ladies and gentlemen, the Dallas Boat Show, the legendary Dallas Boat Show, it has anchored at Dallas Market Hall. Started yesterday, goes through the weekend. You can capitalize right now, ladies and gentlemen. Life is better on a boat. Everybody knows it. Whether you're a first-time buyer or a seasoned boater looking to upgrade, North Texas's largest boating and recreational show is your gateway to an unforgettable summer on the water. Everybody knows the best summer memories are made on the water. And, I mean, when I think about Grapevine Lake, Eagle Mountain Lake, some of those summer days with the friends and family, you just can't beat it. And now you have over 100 dealers and exhibitors here at the Dallas Boat Show offering the largest selection of boats, personal watercraft, accessories, and everything you need to make life on the water even better. We're talking about the best deals of the year, flexible financing, and the dealers are ready to help you turn your boating dreams into reality. The Dallas Boat Show, not just for seasoned boaters. It's fun and informative. It's going to be a great experience for the whole family. You're not going to break the bank. And tickets are available at the door or online, dallasboatexpo.com. We're talking about free and convenient parking. It's the Dallas Boat Show at Dallas Market Hall. It started yesterday, goes through the weekend, and you can find them at dallasboatexpo.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you, Ross. It's the G-Bag Nation live at Globe Life Field. Biggest L, Biggest Dub coming up in a few minutes. Got some sports for you here. I'm curious. Okay, we saw the Chiefs are getting going here with their quarterbacks and their rookies at training camp. We'll be in training camp this time next week, broadcasting live in Oxnard, California. Cannot wait. But Pat Mahomes said he's bringing his own TV and his gaming console so he can play some NCAA football. This is the first time he's doing that. I felt like it was a little crazy to say he's got to bring his own TV.
Yeah.
I get they're not providing the console, but apparently the Chiefs go off to like some random college and they're living in dorms.
Yeah.
They have to bring their own televisions. I'm wondering, are these guys, like, brought us from your experience, and Lucius, like, wouldn't you have to bring your own mattress and stuff too? Like, you can't sleep on a dorm mattress. You're a professional athlete sleeping on trash mattresses, like bunk beds or whatever. So I'm like wondering, what's the deal? Bringing your own TV? Are you bringing your own mattress?
Yes.
I feel like you would have to.
Yeah, you're doing a lot of that. Matter of fact, you know, when, like, there was a couple times we were in Wichita Falls, you know.
For the Cowboys?
For the Cowboys. That was at a college campus, Midwestern State University. So, yeah, you either did that or you slept on a bad mattress with a wooden, like, that wooden solid frame. Like, no, I mean, it was pretty tough. So you get guys that kind of figure out how to double up mattresses or bring their own, you know,
yeah,
the veteran guys.
The veteran guys
know exactly, like, you know, the rookie guys maybe not so much. Veteran guys know the things that you have to do, especially places like Green Bay does it at St. Norbert's College, which is in De Pere. It's in a dorm setting. So, yeah, veteran guys know what to bring in order to make your dorm room actually livable.
There should be better accommodations for these cats, though, actually. You shouldn't have to worry about bringing your own mattress to a place like that or your own television. It should be better accommodations. You're a pro athlete. Yeah. To make it there is already hard enough.
Well, that's –
yeah.
But it's the whole idea of the going away to camp.
To beat you down?
The Spartan kind of, you know, it's us against the world thing. So,
yeah. Boot camp you real quick.
It's just they want you to be football only, very minimal. We don't want you to be comfortable in your bed. We want you to be out on the field.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm guessing, you know, but I think it's a bunch of
people. Yeah, there's guys that bring, like, their own mattress, their own, like, recliner chair.
Like your own Lazy Boy? That's
strong. Bring a Lazy or put a couch
fridge
in there.
In joint, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
A deep freezer?
Like
freezers.
They'll provide
a refrigerator for you, one of those little refrigerators.
Okay, all right.
So you could, and they'll usually stock those things up. Matter of fact, we go to training camp where we stay at River Ridge there for the Cowboys. They have upstairs, downstairs, and they have, you know, a kitchen area with, like, a real refrigerator. So if you wanted to go make a sandwich or two, bring it back and go sleep in your room, you don't have to eat. You could bring the Gatorade, the sandwiches, put it in your fridge, and then eat when you want to eat. You don't even have to. You could go straight from practice to go into your bedroom and go to sleep for a little bit between practices.
How bad do you feel for this girl, the Japanese gymnast who was sent home from Paris? She's supposed to be competing. She's 19 years old. She's supposed to be the best one on the team. One of the top gymnasts, and her name is Shoko Mayada, 19 years old, and she's been sent home for getting caught smoking a cigarette in Monaco.
Oh, she likes to do hood rat things with her friends.
Apparently, smoking cigarettes is illegal in Japan until the age of 20. Mm. She's 19. She's ripping heaters in Monaco. Probably different legalities there, but the same rules apply if you're on the Japanese team. And so she's now getting booted. This feels like one of the most egregious booting out of an athletic competitions as I've ever seen before.
They're not trying to win.
Are you kidding me?
She's your best athlete. She's a year away. Let her smoke a little cigarette. She's stressed out. She's fighting for you.
Thank you, man. Exactly. She's about to go through one of the biggest competitions ever. She needs a little stress reliever here.
Hope she didn't get the twisties, right?
Yeah.
That's the thing we don't get as a gymnast,
spins
the twisties.
And the twisties.
Yeah, the twisties.
Hey, why is she smoking cigarettes when they got vapes out here, man? Vapes are amazing. I can smoke a vape at a restaurant. Even though it says no smoking, I'd smoke it right there. You know what I mean? Like, you could take a vape anywhere. You could smoke it in church, fam. Don't tell nobody else. Vapes are amazing. Why are we smoking cigarettes still?
With a vape, do you not have to abide by, like, when they have the cigarette sign, like, no smoking? Like, that doesn't abide with a vape?
I'm pretty sure. But it disappears.
That's a loophole.
And nobody sees
it. Yeah. Lucius, would you vape in an airport, airplane bathroom?
No, I'll do it right there at the seat.
Right at the seat?
Blow the smoke right up under my underarms. I've done it.
Pull your shirt, like, over your face or something? And just blow it. Well, actually, that's pretty impressive. It disappears quick.
Come on, Phil.
I mean, it's like for a split second, you can kind of see it being blown out, it's gone.
If you're looking for it, you're going to see it, but you don't see it. And then by the time it goes away, you're like, did I just see? Well, I guess there's nothing there.
So would that be your advice for her then, Lucius? You'd be like, hey, next time, just get you one of these vapes.
Yeah.
What's your flavor of choice on the vape?
Well, today, this one right here, dragon melon.
Sounds exotic.
Dragon melon.
Sounds crazy, man.
Hey, man, it's better than the Black and Mild, bro. I used to smoke Black and Mild, dog. Better than that.
469 said twisties. Is that what Ross had earlier? No. I totally understand. That was a Gator. That was a Gator issue. We had an epic G-Bag of the Day at 2:30. We have Lucius on site with us here at Globe Life Field. We're partying it up.
Probably for the last time, ladies and gentlemen.
Probably the last.
Come see Lucius because he's not going to be out on the road.
No more field trips for Lucius.
Yeah, I don't know, Lucius.
I think we had some Gator problems here with the scoreboard because of the computer stuff. They're kind of working through some things right now.
All those Gators, you felt like you were listening live to an Animal Planet segment where alligators were going
death spin?
homicidal on some of the local tourists. But that was just us here trying to hang tough during G-Bag of the Day. Yeah. Maybe we'll run it back, G-Bag of the Day, a little bit later on in the program. Biggest L, biggest dub in a few minutes. How about the L that Scotty Scheffler's caddy took?
Mm.
Did you see him? It was trending.
Ted Scott, I think is his name.
Yeah, pray for Ted Scott, who was just down and out. Feeling
he fall into a trap?
Super, super sick, apparently.
Uh-oh.
The caddy of Scotty Scheffler. Still has Scotty sitting top five, so he's still firing off some good tips and tricks and advice here. But the caddy for Scotty Scheffler.
He was on the bag today.
Yeah, he was on the bag, and he's literally, you can see him laying down while Scott, like basically right before Scotty's getting ready to hit every one of his shots, his caddy was just laying down on the ground. He was only up once it was time to go to the next hole because apparently Ted Scott, the caddy, was under the weather, feeling super sick.
Food poisoning?
Well, that's
kind
a
of
bad
thing?
Look. I see it.
You see him just laid
yeah,
out?
That's a bad look, bro.
Okay, I'm trying to figure out, could you guys beat me for worst place to be sick experience of your life? Because, I mean, this is a bad one. This is where, yeah, you're trending on Twitter, Ted Scott, because you are so down and out. You're like, you're dry heaving. You're in the fetal position. You're struggling to stay on your own 2 feet here on the course.
Nah,
and
I'm
going to
knock on some wood, bro. No, I'm not. No, I've never had a bad experience like that, but it sounds like you have.
I've had one.
One time I got vertigo where you get dizzy and, you can't. Yeah, and I couldn't. It was before a game. We were playing the Packers. We were playing the Lions in Milwaukee, and I got on the bus, and I was so dizzy. I mean, literally sat there, and I closed my eyes. I opened them up, and it was like I was. You talk about the twisties, the spins, whatever.
Yeah, disaster.
I was saying, please just let me end it all right now. I don't want to. Yeah. Like when you, I was that, it was spinning that hard.
Awful.
That I couldn't even get myself.
How long did that last?
I had to sit in the bus for like everybody got off, and I just sat there and I didn't move and closed my eyes. And the doctors and stuff were with me, and they're like, how do you feel? And I'm like, I can't open my eyes. And then it went away. It just like, and then I got up and we played the game. But I literally got on that bus and I thought I was going to throw up. The meeting when I sat down, I thought I was going to throw up.
Yeah.
I was spinning that back.
I've heard just horror stories from the vertigo stuff. Yeah. I'm like, oh, I don't know what the age you get to where that starts to hit you.
It was an inner ear thing they figured out.
Like an equilibrium deal?
It was an inner ear problem.
I'm so sensitive to when I get nauseated.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Yeah.
I'm cooked.
Yeah, the vertigo stuff is something that I'm nervous about moving into the 30s and 40s kind of deal. But I had my ninth grade year, I used to get just the worst migraines you've ever had. And it, like to where it's nausea inducing.
Yeah.
Like you get this migraine and then it's the worst headache you've ever had, and then your stomach hurts and you're just miserable. Nice. And I had it one time, we had just had football practice and we're about to go over to ninth grade like initiation or whatever. like the welcome to high school
the
deal.
Orientation joint?
Yeah, orientation. Yeah. There you go. And it's like pep rally, music, everything's blaring, and it hits me in there. I got to go into the bathroom because I'm like, I mean, you're out, you're down and out, dude.
Right.
Like you're done.
Right.
So I'm in this just loud ass gym with all these people, so miserable. I go to the bathroom. I don't even realize it, but while I'm laying on the bathroom floor, and I got to go to sleep because I know when I have one of these migraines, the only way it'll go away is if I get to sleep. I got to get to sleep. I'm laying on the bathroom floor. I get woken up by sounds of female voices. I didn't realize I was in the girls' bathroom, laid out fetal position on the floor in a stall, and then I had to climb up on the toilet and just hide in there until all the girls – because I'm like –
Didn't see you?
No, they didn't see me because I'm in the stall. So they had no idea that I was in there.
Schools after that, bro.
That would have been awful. Yeah. That would have been absolutely awful.
I remember you.
Yeah.
bathroom.
Unfortunately, I remember you too, honey. That was disgusting. But it was miserable. That was the worst one ever.
That sounds
awful. At least you were on a girl's bathroom floor. If you were on the bathroom floor at our office, you might as well just end it.
Yeah, you need some amoxicillin.
Yeah, because Choppy's trying to play the game where how far away from the urinal can I go and still make it? Yeah. And he's not batting 1,000, I'll tell you that much, folks.
No, you know what? Now that I think about it, though, there once I got myself sick on vacation in Mexico, went to that Farmacia.
Yeah.
Ooh. I had a little too much.
Ooh.
Mix that with alcohol on that beach in that sun.
Oh.
And, oh, yeah. I was like, okay, this might be it for me.
That's done. That's like legendary hangover type feeling.
Boy, I told myself up out there. And I was like sitting next to my mother-in-law. That was embarrassing about it.
Oh, no.
I'm trying not to let her know. Actually, I had too many pills and liquor. I'm Hunter S. Thompson over here.
Just dealing with a crossfade.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. All right. It's the G-Bag Nation on a Friday. We're live at the Globe. Let's get you biggest L, biggest dub, 877-881-1053. Where have you taken some L's this week? More importantly, where have you gotten those personal victories? That's next in the Nation. I think the biggest L on the show this week has to be, well, of course, outside of today's G-Bag of the Day, it would be the rash of Gavin Dawson.
Yeah, poor guy.
Swimming around some hotel pool waters.
Yeah,
and
I got a rash.
Just an absolute nightmare.
Right there on the waistline, too.
Yeah, the way he was describing it, Dawson is this type of guy. Matter of fact, he sent me a text message last night about 10 o'clock.
Was it a rash pick?
Yeah,
it was
he's like, I appreciate you getting on me about my rash.
SMS message.
He was having fun, you know, and I'm like.
Oh,
but it seems like that Dawson could be standing next to something. And it just jumps onto him. You know, it's just like that, you know, poison ivy or whatever, just kind of.
Very susceptible.
Very susceptible.
He's got a vulnerable epidermis, man.
Yep.
That's just the fact of the matter about Dawson. So we're thinking about that L for Dawson. He's going to be coaching. I mean, he's going to be coaching with a rash this weekend. I mean, just think about that.
Scratching as he's communicating with kids. Somebody in stands like, man, what's going on with dude? Down
like, man, coach is extra ornery today, guys. I don't really understand what's going on. But poor dude's dealing with a motel pool rash, okay?
It's funny,
give him a
though,
damn break.
You were talking about, though, like sleeping in like college beds, you know, like
dorm room, beds. Trash beds.
That's the situation for him this weekend.
Oh, that's what he's doing?
Yeah, he has. I told him, I said, listen, dude, go get like an air mattress or something to put on top of the bed. And he's like, good idea. You know, so I'm sure he didn't bring an air mattress.
Well, he better have brought some Calamine lotion. That's all I'm going to say.
Hey, seriously, Chief, how about the time he showed up with no luggage?
To Vegas for the Super Bowl. Yeah.
He showed up with not a bag. Like his backpack.
Just a money clip.
Was
for
he on
gambling.
The run?
Just a money,
I don't know what
money
the
clip.
Deal.
No, you know what he said? He goes, they got away from me.
They got away from
they
me.
They got away from me.
I'm like, yeah, okay, I guess so. Now you're just going to wing it without a bag.
Showed up without a piece of luggage
he
for
made
a
it
week,
through.
5 days.
He went to Target, got some white tees and some undies, allegedly.
He dressed like he was on a sting operation.
That's right.
Just these T-shirts, pants, and him sitting in his car all day.
We were discussing the L that Scottie Scheffler's caddy
Ted
took.
Scott.
Ted Scott there. He was struggling. Looked like going through dope withdrawal, said the 817.
Yeah.
And that's very, very true. And a lot of people were texting in their worst time and place that they've ever been sick. For me, it was at a ninth grade high school orientation. Just absolutely disastrous. The 940, this is Jeff and Sanger. Back in the early 90s, I was flying from Texas to Utah. He was going to be bowling in the National Tourney. And he says he got the flu, puking. Coming out of both ends, throat swollen, major fever, lying on the airport floor in order to fly whenever I got there instead of having fun visiting Utah. I stayed in my hotel room, bowled with a 102.3 fever. That's just a nightmare.
He bowled like a 290?
I don't know if he had his Jordan flu game or not.
He
didn't give me the details on how good he performed, but the fact that he got out there in general is pretty dang impressive. You have 469. I was under the weather as a kid. My parents took me on the Galveston ferry. I got sick on top of it, violently ill. That's miserable.
That's,
any type
that's
of just, public sickness
that's
or
motion
pain.
Sickness. That's like on the water, right? Did he get?
He's just puking into the waters there while he's on the ferry. That's a real bad situation, man. Somebody says 512 federal court jury duty, had pneumonia. I mean, my gosh, what are they doing putting you on the
putting you on the jury squad when they can see you're fighting through that. That's crazy.
They dismissed him. They didn't even know he was sick. They just thought he was nervous.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Sweating and everything.
Our buddy Tim from Carthage, he got an L because he was trying to send Walchuk some Tito's, but he door-dashed it to my house. What? And so he was like, "Well, that's supposed to be for Walchuk." I'm like, "I don't know what you want. I don't know what you want from me, dude."
I know what you're talking about.
We're making some transfusions over here. If you know, Walchuk could come over to my place now.
I get it to him.
Hey, big dub for the city or Texas suburb that is Coppell.
Okay, wait a minute. You almost pulled a Blake Elliott there, didn't you?
Did we
struggle with where it was located?
Well, it was a suburb. I was like, a suburb or city? Yeah. I don't, you know. But Coppell,
right next to us, Las Colinas. Then there's right over there.
Yeah, but you kind of like stumbled.
I limped into it. There's no question.
You were kind of thinking,
and
like,
I have no real explanation.
Which direction am I going with this place?
He thought it was out there by Waco.
Yeah, No, I'm familiar with Coppell. They used to smack us around. I played for the Keller Youth Football League growing up, and anytime we played Coppell, I mean, they crushed us.
I did radio for Coppell High School for 4 years. They got some good football players over there.
Yeah, they were dominating us. But Coppell this week was ranked number 5 in Travel and Leisure's best suburbs to live in the United States.
I believe
that.
I do believe that. It's a very nice place to drive through.
Yeah. Coppell is the only North Texas city on the rankings list of the top 10. You did have Cinco Ranch, which is west of Houston. That was the only other Texas suburb on the ranking. They actually came in at number 2.
Five Ranch, huh?
Cinco Ranch, west of Houston, is apparently one hell of a suburb. McKinney did not make the list. No.
Allen?
You had a place in – this is for the entire United States of America.
Wow.
So there's only 2 suburbs in Texas that made it.
Coppell stand up.
Coppell standing up at number 5. Pretty impressive. Cinco Ranch just outside of Houston is number 2. And then you had a city in Georgia, one in Michigan, Maryland, Massachusetts, Missouri, Indiana, Virginia, Pennsylvania.
Which one's the hardest one to say?
Probably North Bethesda.
Oh yeah, Bethesda, Maryland. It's beautiful over there.
Yeah.
Anne Arundel, Bethesda. That's a beautiful little area.
Isn't that where they like the Walter Reed Hospital is?
Yes,
like,
sir.
In Bethesda, Maryland.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah. I know I went to Walter Reed. Yeah. I feel like that was more DC. I don't know.
That might be. Yeah.
We had a big L for a school teacher who was
not again.
This is a funnier one. Oh. This isn't the like trying to shag the kids teacher getting fired.
Diddling.
This is a guy who was on the work computer or phone or whatever. Like they could monitor what he was doing, and he was just spending like all of his time while he was supposed to be teaching playing Candy Crush.
Oh.
We have a Candy Crush addict on our hands.
Well,
who was
better than something else.
Yeah,
oh, no
saying.
No doubt.
Yeah.
No, that's why it's funnier. Yeah. You know, like this is just a guy
who's an obligation
addicted
to
tell a
phone game. The people who, do you have an obligation as a business to tell people that we're monitoring your computer?
100% you do. Yeah.
They probably tell you, you don't know. You just signed out for it.
Yeah.
Do you agree? Yeah.
Yeah, apparently they called it the District Wellbeing App. That tracked like the phone and the computer usage so they can make sure that at least like during school hours or whatever, you're actually paying attention to what you're supposed to be doing. This dude was putting in like 5.5 hours worth of Candy Crush time on the daily, just probably, you know, running up the numbers, dude.
There's sites that you can't look at here in the stadium.
Candy Crush Anonymous is where this guy had to go.
No. Really?
Allegedly, if he wanted to keep his job. They're like,
how you know, brothers?
It just popped up on my phone.
Like sites you can't go to?
Yeah, you try and look at OnlyFans on your phone, and it just pops up, and it says Safari block.
Every once in a while, probably like, oh, dude, I got
some
this new
haters.
OnlyFans account. You guys should see this. How many you got now? How many you subscribe to now?
Oh, too many to count.
Big Daddy.
Most of them are chicks, too, which I think is
most
awesome.
Of them.
Biggest all of the week, though, goes, of course, to the Kentucky motel that was ordered to pay $2 million after a guest died from a 150-degree shower.
Whoa.
Are you kidding me? 76-year-old Alex Tronis took the ultimate L, which was death. because he was like third degree burns across his body, 150 no. degrees in the shower. They didn't have a regulator on that thing, and I don't know what happened.
So he stepped in to turn it on, or you didn't turn it on first and get the temperature? I mean, respect to him.
Right.
I just know my process when I get in the shower.
There's no respect at all.
Respect him.
What the hell are you doing?
You're always – you never turn the shower on while you're already in it. You turn it on, you let it get warm, and then you go touch it, and you're like, okay, it's too hot. Let me scale it back a little bit.
Was there any steam, like hot? I mean, like, whoa.
I would imagine there was some steam. It was 150 degrees.
76 years old, had a good run.
Damn.
He did.
I'm serious.
No, he did.
If you don't know the showers that hot, I mean.
76, a good run.
It is fantastic.
Well, how could you not see? That's what I'm saying.
Maybe it switched on him while he was in there.
Somebody flushed the commode from next door.
Yeah.
It flipped on him. Maybe he's trying to get it back cold, but it's not working. And now all of a sudden he's 76 years old
he's
burning. And now he's like, he can't do it. You're so shocked or something. You can't help yourself.
I don't know, man. I hope that doesn't happen to me.
I feel so vulnerable when I'm in the shower, too, bro.
Oh, my gosh. I know.
Yeah, I'm in the shower and I hear my dogs bark or something. Like, oh, God.
That was one of the biggest gripes that I had to figure out early in marriage with my wife. She loved to try and scare me when I was in the shower.
No, don't do that.
And I'm like, honey, listen, like, honestly, when you scare me anytime, it pisses me off.
Cold water over the railing?
But in the water, this is dangerous.
Yeah.
This is a dangerous place here.
You want me here, right?
All
right?
You're going to make me slip. So that's you are absolutely vulnerable in the shower, and this poor guy, 76 years old, 150 degrees.
I
check your water
believe.
Temperatures, especially when you're at a local Kentucky motel.
Damn,
you got to be careful, folks.
$2 million to his family.
Yeah, $2 million to the family. Honestly, it's not enough in my mind. I mean, that place should be going out of business forever. That motel should be Dunsky.
I don't know.
You don't get to do this anymore. You've lost your opportunity, man. 150 degree shower. You're killing 76 year olds because of it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an ultimate L, and I just I feel for the man and his family.
His family's probably like, oh well, you know, he had a good run.
They're like, well, the $2 million. The family's like, hey, 76.
Maybe.
You think they're saying it might be worth it over there? Is that what you're doing?
Just an awful way to go.
Maybe
bro.
Wasn't going to leave enough.
Truly. Hey,
awful
honestly,
go,
just
bro.
An awful. You never think to yourself when you have those moments of, like, how is it going to happen for me? You never think Kentucky motel, 150 degree shower, 76 years old. You never think that.
Nope.
But
I hope
guy,
it's
that
at the
was
China buffet when it happens to me. I'm getting that
just
one
death
last
by orange
bite,
chicken.
One last bite of orange chicken, and I just
death by dumpling.
Just my head hits the desk.
That's the proudest way you could go out.
I'm done. Like I take my, I wipe my mouth, and just my head hits the desk.
Oh, I love it.
Don't
all right,
like that brought us.
It's the G-Bag Nation here. We will do less death talk coming up next, but we do have a Friday news dump. I got some really, really good news, and we have a desperado on the loose here locally. That's next in the nation. I think the biggest L on the show this week has to be, well, of course, outside of today's G-Bag of the Day, it would be the rash of Gavin Dawson.
Yeah, poor guy.
Swimming around some hotel pool waters.
Yeah,
and
I got a rash.
Just an absolute nightmare.
Right there on the waistline, too.
Yeah, the way he was describing it, Dawson is this type of guy. Matter of fact, he sent me a text message last night about 10 o'clock.
Was it a rash pick?
Yeah, was it a
pick? He's like, I appreciate you getting on me about my rash.
SMS message.
He was having fun, you know, and I'm like.
Oh,
but it seems like that Dawson could be standing next to something and it just jumps onto him. You know, it's just like that, you know, poison ivy or whatever, just kind of.
Very susceptible.
Very susceptible.
He's got a vulnerable epidermis, man.
Yep. Sure
That's
does.
Just the fact of the matter about Dawson. So we're thinking about that L for Dawson. He's going to be coaching. I mean, he's going to be coaching with a rash this weekend. I mean, just think about that.
Scratching as he's communicating with
kids.
Nobody, somebody in stands like, man, what's going on with dude?
Like, man, coach is extra ornery today, guys. I don't really understand what's going on.
But
poor dude's dealing with a motel pool rash, okay?
It's funny,
give him a
damn
break.
You were talking about, though, like sleeping in like college beds, you know, like
dorm room,
beds.
Trash beds.
He's got it. That's the situation for him this weekend.
Oh, that's what he's doing?
Yeah, he has. I told him, I said, listen, dude, go get like an air mattress or something to put on top of the bed. And he's like, oh, it's like, good idea. You know, so I'm sure he didn't bring an air mattress.
Well, he better have brought some calamine lotion. That's all I'm going to say.
Hey, seriously, Chief, how about the time he showed up with no luggage?
To Vegas for the Super Bowl. Yeah.
He showed up with not a bag, like his backpack.
Just a money clip.
Was
for
he
gambling.
On the run?
Just a money,
I don't know what
money
the deal
clip. No, you know, what he said? He goes, they got away from me.
They got away from
they
me.
They got away from me.
I'm like, yeah, okay, I guess so. Now you're just going to wing it without a bag.
He showed up without a piece of luggage
he
for
made
a
it
week,
through.
5 days.
He went to Target, got some white tees and some undies, allegedly.
He dressed like he was on a sting operation.
That's right.
Just these T-shirts, pants, and him sitting in his car all day.
We were discussing the L that Scottie Scheffler's caddy Ted Scott there. He was struggling. Looked like going through dope withdrawal, said the 817.
Yeah.
And that's very, very true. And a lot of people were texting in that their worst time and place that they've ever been sick. For me, it was at a ninth grade high school orientation. Just absolutely disastrous. The 940, this is Jeff and Sanger. Back in the early 90s, I was flying from Texas to Utah. He was going to be bowling in the national tourney. And he says he got the flu, puking, coming out of both ends, throat swollen, major fever, lying on the airport floor in order to fly whenever I got there instead of having fun visiting Utah. I stayed in my hotel room, bowled with a 102.3 fever. That's just a nightmare.
He bowled like a 290?
Yeah,
how'd he do?
I don't know if he had his Jordan flu game or not.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
He didn't give me the details on how good he performed, but the fact that he got out there in general is pretty dang impressive. You have 469. I was under the weather as a kid. My parents took me on the Galveston Ferry. I got sick on top of it, violently ill. That's miserable.
That's,
any type
that's
of just, public sickness
that's
or
motion
pain.
Sickness. That's like on the water, right? Did he get?
Yeah. He's just puking into the waters there while he's on the ferry. That's a real bad situation, man. Somebody says 512 federal court jury duty, had pneumonia. I mean, my gosh, what are they doing putting you on the jury squad when they can see you're fighting through that? That's crazy.
They dismissed him. They didn't even know he was sick. They just thought he was nervous.
Yeah, that's right.
Sweating and everything.
Our buddy Tim from Carthage, he got an L because he was trying to send Walchuk some Tito's, yeah. But he door-dashed it to my house.
What?
And so he was like, "Well, that's supposed to be for Walchuk." I'm like, "I don't know what you want. I don't know what you want from me, dude."
I know what you're talking about.
We're making some transfusions over here. If you know, Walchuk could come over to my place now.
I'll get it to him.
Hey, big dub for the city or Texas suburb that is Coppell.
Okay, wait a minute. You almost pulled a Blake Elliott there, didn't you?
Were you
struggling with where it was located?
Well, it was a suburb. I was like, a suburb or city? Yeah. I don't, you know. But
so
Coppell,
right next to us, Las Colinas. Then there's like, right over there.
Yeah, but you kind of like stumbled.
I limped into it. There's no question.
You were kind of thinking,
and
I
have no real explanation.
Which direction am I going with this place?
He thought I was out there by Waco.
Yeah. No, I'm familiar with Coppell. They used to smack us around. I played for the Keller Youth Football League growing up, and anytime we played Coppell, I mean, they crushed us.
I did radio for Coppell High School for 4 years. They got some good football players over there.
Yeah, they were dominating us. But Coppell this week was ranked number 5 in Travel and Leisure's best suburbs to live in the United States.
I believe
that.
I do believe that. It's a very nice place to drive through.
Yeah. Coppell is the only North Texas city on the rankings list of the top 10. You did have Cinco Ranch, which is west of Houston. That was the only other Texas suburb on the ranking. They actually came in at number 2.
Five Ranch, huh?
Cinco Ranch, west of Houston, is apparently one hell of a suburb. McKinney did not make the list. No.
Allen?
You had a place in – this is for the entire United States of America.
Wow.
So there's only 2 suburbs in Texas that made it.
Coppell stand up.
Coppell standing up at number 5. Pretty impressive. Cinco Ranch just outside of Houston is number 2. And then you had a city in Georgia, one in Michigan, Maryland, Massachusetts, Missouri, Indiana, Virginia, Pennsylvania.
Which one's the hardest one to say?
Probably North Bethesda.
Oh yeah, Bethesda, Maryland. It's beautiful over there.
Yeah.
Anne Arundel, Bethesda. That's a beautiful little area.
Isn't that where the Walter Reed Hospital is?
Yes,
like
sir.
In Bethesda, Maryland.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah. I know I went to Walter Reed. Yeah. I feel like that was more DC. I don't know.
That might be. Yeah.
We had a big L for a school teacher who was
not again.
This is a funnier one.
Oh.
This isn't the like trying to shag the kids teacher getting fired.
Diddling.
This is a guy who was on the work computer or phone or whatever. Like they could monitor what he was doing, and he was just spending like all of his time
while he's supposed to be teaching, playing Candy Crush.
Oh.
We have a Candy Crush addict on our hands.
Well, it's better than something else.
Yeah, oh, no doubt. Yeah. That's why it's funnier. Yeah. You know, like this is just a guy who's addicted to a phone game.
Do you have an obligation as a business to tell people that we're monitoring your computer?
100% you do. Yeah.
They probably tell you, you don't know. You just signed out for it.
Yeah.
Do you agree? Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently they called it the District Wellbeing app that tracked like the phone and the computer usage, so they can make sure that at least like during school hours or whatever, you're actually paying attention to what you're supposed to be doing. This dude was putting in like 5.5 hours worth of Candy Crush time on the daily. Just probably, you know, running up the numbers, dude.
There's sites that you can't look at here in the stadium.
Candy Crush Anonymous is where this guy had to go.
No. Really?
Allegedly, if he wanted to keep his job. They're like,
how you know, brothers?
It just popped up on my phone.
Like, you can't go to?
Yeah, you try and look at OnlyFans on your phone. Oh. And it just pops up, and it says Safari block.
Every once in a while, brothers like, oh, dude, I got some this new haters. OnlyFans account. You guys should see this. How many you got now? How many you subscribe to now?
Oh, too many to count.
Big daddy.
Most of them are chicks, too, which I think is
most
awesome
of them.
Biggest all of the week, though, goes, of course, to the Kentucky motel that was ordered to pay $2 million after a guest died from a 150-degree shower.
Whoa.
Are you kidding me? 76-year-old Alex Tronis took the ultimate L, which was death, because he was like third-degree burns across his body, 150 degrees in the shower. They didn't have a regulator on that thing, and I don't know what happened.
So he stepped in to turn it on, or you didn't turn it on first and get the temperature? I mean, respect to him.
Right.
I just know my process when I get in the shower.
There's no respect at
all. Respect him.
What the hell are you doing? You're always you never turn the shower on while you're already in it. You turn it on, you let it get warm, and then you go touch it, and you're like, okay, it's too hot. Let me scale it back a little bit.
Was there any steam, like hot? I mean, like, whoa.
I would imagine there was some steam. It was 150 degrees.
76 years old, had a good run.
Oh, damn.
He did.
I'm serious.
No, he did.
If you don't know the showers that hot, I mean.
76, a good run.
It is fantastic.
Well, how could you not see? That's what I'm saying.
Maybe it switched on while he was in there.
Somebody flushed the commode from next door.
Yeah.
It flipped on him. Maybe he's trying to get it back cold, but it's not working. And now all of a sudden, he's 76 years old,
he's
burning. And now he's like, he can't do it. You're so shocked or something. You can't help yourself.
I don't know, man. I hope that doesn't happen to me.
I feel so vulnerable when I'm in the shower, too, bro.
Oh, my gosh. I know.
Yeah, I'm in the shower and I hear my dogs bark or something. Oh, God.
That was one of the biggest gripes that I had to figure out early in marriage with my wife. She loved to try and scare me when I was in the shower.
No, don't do that.
And I'm like, honey, listen, like, honestly, when you scare me at any time, it pisses
me off.
Cold
water over the railing?
But in the water, this is dangerous.
Yeah.
This is a dangerous place here.
You want me here, right?
All
right?
You're going to make me slip. So that's you are absolutely vulnerable in the shower, and this poor guy, 76 years old, 150 degrees.
I
check your water
believe.
Temperatures, especially when you're at a local Kentucky motel.
Damn,
you got to be careful, folks.
$2 million to his family.
Yeah, $2 million to the family. Honestly, it's not enough in my mind. I mean, that place should be going out of business forever. That motel should be Dunsky.
I don't know.
You don't get to do this anymore. You've lost your opportunity, man. 150 degree shower. You're killing 76 year olds because of it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an ultimate L, and I just I feel for the man and his family.
His family's probably like, oh well, you know, he had a good run.
They're like, well, the $2 million. The family's like, hey, 76.
Maybe.
You think they're saying it might be worth it over there? Is that what you're doing?
Just an awful way to go.
Maybe
bro.
Wasn't going to leave enough.
Truly. Hey,
awful
honestly,
go,
just
bro.
An awful. You never think to yourself when you have those moments of, like, how's it going to happen for me? You never think Kentucky motel, 150 degree shower, 76 years old. You never think that.
No.
But
I hope
guy,
it's at the China buffet when it happens to me. I'm getting that
just
one
death
last
by orange
bite,
chicken.
One last bite of orange chicken, and I just boom.
Death by dumpling.
Just my head hits the desk.
That's
and
the
I'm,
proudest way you could go out.
I'm done. Like I take my, I wipe my mouth, and just my head hits the desk.
Oh, I love it.
Don't
all right,
like that brought us.
It's the G-Bag Nation here. We will do less death talk coming up next, but we do have a Friday news dump. I got some really, really good news, and we have a desperado on the loose here locally. That's
Ooh.
Next in the nation.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you news stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.